past 11 o'clock and we have a scheduled public hearing. Mr. Griffin?
Lawrence?
This is Moy.
This is a public hearing on an ordinance that has been proposed for adoption. And we'll begin the public hearing with a brief presentation by Lawrence Lank, the Director of Planning and Zoning. And after that, we will open it up to members of the public. If you are present and wish to have something to say, when you're recognized, come down front to the podium. And before you make your statement, if you would please state your name and address so that if later we're trying to determine who said what, your name will clearly be on the record. Thank you very much for your attendance, Mr. Lank.
He's only 47, I didn't know that.
Good morning, gentlemen.
He's only 47, I didn't know that.
We have an ordinance before us this morning. It's an ordinance to repeal Chapter 80 relating to lot maintenance and to amend Chapter 115. Zoning, Article 25, Section 115-191, relating to the parking, storing, and maintenance of vehicles and boats and prohibited growth and accumulations on non-agricultural lands, waste materials outside commercial premises, enforcement methods, and the violation and penalties resulting therefrom. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on November 8th of 2007. The ordinance was summarized. I read a letter of support to the amendment from Joe McCann and Catherine Teller and submitted to the commission pictures received with the letter depicting an abandoned sailboat near the intersection of Wilkinson Road and Green Street in Prime Oak Beach, which I'll provide again.
The photos and the letter for review.
The commission discussed the ordinance. Rick Kaut stated that there was a need for a definition of an antique vehicle or a vintage car, and that there may be a need for a vehicle licensing reference in a proposed ordinance. Ms. Trefilis, the assistant county attorney, agreed. The commission received and heard comments from residents of James A. Street near Dewey Beach, Lazy Lake, Oak Orchard, landowners again near Dewey Beach, and they spoke in support of the need for this type of ordinance in reference that they object to the storage of unlicensed and junk vehicles and boats, that a camper in one of the photographs had been parked in the same location for approximately 30 years, and again, based on that, I'll pass out some photographs.
Okay, I missed that. Okay, got you.
Again, a series of photographs that were submitted by the people in support.
I gotta go get a letter here too.
That another vehicle has been parked in the same location since 1992, that the amendment addresses most of their concerns, excludes agricultural lands, and addresses hobbyists, that there is a need for a definition for antique, that the existing conditions at some locations depreciates property values, that some people have had to put up fencing to screen neighboring lots containing junk and debris, that debris and junk attract snakes and rats, that consideration should be given to no unlicensed vehicles being permitted, and that the ordinance needs enforcement. For the benefit of the record, in the audience, I did just pass out copies of letters and photographs depicting debris, overgrowth, junk, and dilapidated vehicles. Also received a petition containing 108 signatures from the area of Oak Orchard in support of the ordinance. We heard comments from several parties, Cheryl Roach, Wolfgang von Baumgart, Carl Swanson, Jason Beal, Roland West, and Richard West, in opposition to the proposed ordinance, expressing concern that fines should not be imposed for not cutting grass, that some people work on and restore old vehicles for their own use, and that the vehicles are not licensed until the restoration is completed, that cutting grass sometimes harms the environment, that the ordinance amendment is grammatically incorrect, that two unlicensed vehicles on the property are a reasonable use of land, that real evidence and example is given of an appraisal is needed if someone claims depreciation of property values, that the growth of some weed-type plant should be encouraged, and there was references to Joe Paul weed and goldenrod, both of which can be purchased from landscapers, that milkweed is vital to the life cycle of the monarch butterfly, that there are many ornamental plants utilized in landscaping and could be confused as weeds, that vegetation should not be included in ordinances, that there are several yards in the county that are certified as being backyard habitat for wildlife, that all clauses referencing grasses should be eliminated from the ordinance, that planting can be helpful to the environment, that the comp plan update references that the county will continue to focus on preserving more land and strengthening regulations that protect natural features, that using zoning and subdivision regulation to help protect critical wildlife habitat should be focused in residential areas, should be encouraged. The tipping fee that the state landfills causes more trash and debris being dumped on properties of others, and questioning if the state is required to maintain the grass on the state right-of-way on the roads. We also received a letter of written comments from Mr. Swanson, and
that's why I went and got
a letter from Mr. Burrell, or Beal, excuse me, submitted two booklets. One's titled Controlling Backyard Invaders, and the other is Livable Plants for the Home Landscape, and they're both a part of the record. And I just have one copy of each. Pass those down. I doesn't say for sure, but they're presented by the state. And the commission to date has deferred action, has not given, made a decision on this ordinance to date. I did receive on the 21st, Shane Abbott of my staff received a note from Tom Ford through email. Wish to weigh in on the lot maintenance, specifically the vegetative portion, and makes reference to please exclude ornamental grasses, perennials, herbs, vegetable gardens, along with shrubs and trees, exclude wetland establishment and stormwater basins or bioswales, exclude meadow growth and reestablishment of succession growth for a non-mow technique, exclude golf course rough areas, exclude the perimeters of water basins. These high growth areas discourage geese issues. He suggested that vegetative guidelines countywide is considerably difficult to enforce and maybe should be avoided. There are so many variables in land use. Letting a lot go fallow and to some neglected can also be deemed environmentally as a positive rather than a negative, depending on the person's perspective. But meadows and brambles in the right places can be attractive and a resource to birds and other wildlife. That a distinction is needed for small lot ownership, but even that is problematic, and suggests that the ordinance stick to rubbish, debris, vehicles, and the like, and leave the vegetative growth issues alone. I think Mr. Baker also received a copy or an email correspondence from Rick Collins in reference to the same issue. And that's all I have, John, unless you have questions. I do have the petitions. I didn't know if you want to see those. They're basically signatures.
Is this a letter that you got from Mr. Smoth also that I have?
Let me see.
October 16th. Same one. That'll have to. Okay. I just want to make sure it's on the record.
Second. The petition, just for reference, and it was regarding the lot maintenance and the reference to the ordinance and parking vehicles. It says, we, the undersigned residents, property owners of Sussex County, are in favor of this ordinance and its long-awaited upgrades under ordinance or Chapter 115, 191 in regards to, in parentheses, no more than two automotive vehicles or trailers, boats, or other watercraft, or the undersigned would like the ordinance to read zero unlicensed vehicles or trailers, boats, or other watercraft.
And that's who, from who?
That's the petition signed by, I believe I said, 109 signatures.
They want to see it zero.
Zero. Mr. Jones, I believe I passed that down with my other correspondence.
And P&amp;Z is recommended to do what?
Commission has not yet acted on this ordinance. But it, basically, it is deferred. The council can
did they make any
hear the public hearing, not to date. There was a concern about the ornamental plants, et cetera.
Okay, all right.
I must have passed that down, Mr. Jones.
Can't roll or run without a tag. You're ready to come back.
Any other questions of Mr. Lang?
No.
Okay. The county does have an ordinance now. It's in Chapter 80. And the reason that is being repealed is that when it was adopted many years ago, it placed the responsibility for policing matters related to these types of things with a transfer station division. And we no longer have a transfer station division, so there's no real enforcement.
Different.
And the ordinance that is proposed would place the jurisdiction of this under the land use regulations, under the zoning ordinance. So it would be, the enforcement would be by planning and zoning. The current, a current provision in the planning and zoning law already says no more than two automotive vehicles or trailers of any type without current license plates shall be parked or stored on any residentially zoned property other than in a completely enclosed building. So what this is doing is, this proposed ordinance is building on that and expanding from vehicles and trailers that are derelict and are not registered to include boats and watercraft, because it's been reported to council that there were a number of situations where those types of objects had been placed on property and had remained there for many years. When we, were you finished, Mr. Lang?
Yes, I am.
When members of the public come forward, it would be helpful at the beginning of your comments if you could tell us whether you support the ordinance or whether you're in opposition, and then go ahead and tell us why you support or why you oppose. Who would like to be the first speaker? This gentleman right here had his hand up first. Yes, sir.
I have a statement on the information. Everybody there.
Thank you.
My name is Carl Swanson. My wife and I reside at 611 Meadowbrook Lane in Milford, just in the corner of Mr. Jones' district.
Yep.
Very corner. We also have a summer place at Middlesex Beach near Bethany, so we consider ourselves to be doubly Sussex Countyans. Mr. Lang already summarized basically what I said at the public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission. So I want to just jump into ways that I think the ordinance can be improved. I oppose it as it stands. I think there are a lot of good features in it. I oppose the limitations on grasses and weeds. I think this limitation is poorly thought out, merely a carryover from the current ordinance, and I believe enforcing it in its current form would be very difficult and probably be quite arbitrary. So I'm going to just four alternatives for you to consider.
You're addressing the section 115-191D, starting on page 6, prohibited gross and accumulations?
Sounds right.
Okay. Thank you.
Page 6.
Talks about the grasses and all that type stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Prohibited gross and accumulations, yes.
So the rest of the ordinance, you're comfortable with the rest of the ordinance?
Yes.
Addressing vehicles and all these other things. It's just, okay, you're just targeting this one section. Okay.
One section. Mm-hmm.
Good enough.
My first suggestion is just eliminate all clauses concerning vegetation from this ordinance. There's plenty of meat in it without including vegetation. And I don't believe the county has been adversely affected by the lack of enforcement of the current code. Secondly, I was asked at the public hearing about how you distinguish bad weeds Well, the Delaware Department of Agriculture does have a noxious weed program. They have identified four species that should be controlled. You could write reference to that program into the ordinance in place of what you currently have. I've included information on that program in my handout. It's attached to this first attachment. Next one is to get knowledgeable advice on writing a good vegetation section for the ordinance. And as another example, I've been attached the section from the Newcastle County Property Maintenance Code, which goes into quite a bit of detail on growth.
And you're comfortable with what Newcastle County does?
No.
Huh? Oh, you don't like that either? Okay.
It really does. No, I don't like it either.
All right.
It stinks too.
To me, it's a little too restrictive.
Too much.
Although it hits some many good points, and it does address noxious weeds, wildlife habitat, and also invasive species. The last suggestion is simply use a Band-Aid approach. Expand the exception clause, which is on top of page 7. Just as now, weeds do not include ornamental shrubs and trees. I think that could be expanded as one way of fixing this up. I specifically add ornamental grasses. I have those. Areas maintained for wildlife habitat, like I do. Mm-hmm. Flower beds, Mr. Lank said, my goldenrod, my Joe Pye weed. Vegetable gardens, corn is technically a grass. And also, you probably want to put in there wetlands and marshes, because a lot of those are privately owned, and they would, well, there's no exception for them as the way the ordinance is written. So I think it's your duty as a writer of zoning regulations to come up with better language concerning vegetation so we have a reasonable and enforceable ordinance. I want to repeat now, this ordinance as written would contradict what I'm doing with my property and what I've been certified, recognized as having a wildlife habitat. So please give us property owners some leeway in the way we maintain our land. Thank you.
Could I ask you one question? I was reading through Newcastle County's restrictions, and they just, I mean, it seems to be difficult if somebody's got an overgrown piece of ground, mm-hmm. okay, and the neighbors are complaining about it, okay? And you're suggesting we should just send somebody in and look for these four noxious weeds. And what do? Just pull out the four and leave the rest of the weeds? Or, I mean, how do you determine, or how do you just go in and just pull out the bad ones and not get all of them? But I see that Newcastle County requires a annual mowing.
That is for invasive species. That is not for the noxious weeds. Noxious weeds fall.
It just says notwithstanding. Anyway, an annual mowing is required. What would be wrong with just a statement, annual mowing would be required? Because sometimes the people are getting concerned that these parcels of ground, lots in some subdivisions and older subdivisions are just overgrown and overgrown and never addressed. Maybe one annual mowing, would that hurt even the species you think that are good? I mean, won't they come back?
I don't think it's necessary.
Okay.
If your neighbors are complaining, I think that could be worked out between the neighbors.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times.
That's what I did with my property.
Right, I know, but a lot of times that doesn't mm-hmm. work. Sometimes we have absentee owners that aren't as maybe concerned as you are. Okay, no, I just curious. All right.
Thank you, Mr.
And I did enter your letter, Mr. Swanson, that you sent me. I answered it in Mr. Lang's records.
Okay. That's you know, earlier form I've been thinking about it ever since then. So every time I think about it, I come up with a slightly different form.
Okay.
Thank you for your comments.
Not anymore.
Gentleman back here.
My name is Joe McCann, and I live at 9806 Wilkerson Road, which is 19963. Post office is Milford, but it's Prime Hook Beach. I had contacted Mr. Rogers, and he was kind enough to forward my comments and the pictures to the planning and zoning officer, which I appreciate very much. But I thought it would be good to make a personal appearance and just say that I support the ordinance. I do share some of the concerns that the gentleman speaking before me has. You know, it's not an easy question for you to resolve, but I trust your judgment will be resolved, particularly in an area like where I live, where the house I built and live full-time abuts the refuge. Right. There's a lot of lots along the refuge, and there's a lot of habitat there. So that didn't bother me, those unimproved lots. What bothered me is when, in the middle of the night, the property owner, he says his son, I did speak to him, middle of the night, dumped a sailboat on its side in the lot next to my house. I did leave a message with his daughter, and he did show up at my house when I wasn't there one day and said that he would remove it. That was about a year ago. And pardon, sir?
Still there?
Yes, sir. And so when I read the paper and I saw this ordinance, and I thought, wow, this is pretty interesting. Maybe it'll help the cause. And because, as the gentleman over here, Mr. Cole, said, sometimes neighbors can't resolve the issues, and I made a request that was reasonable. He told my partner, Catherine Teller, that he would try to do it. And so I went online and read the ordinance and saw that little section, which I didn't commit to memory, where it says unimproved lots should not have an abandoned vehicle or boat.
Zero, right?
And lots, right. That's what's
unimproved
in there.
Lots. None of this applies to that. It's only if you have a dwelling, a structure.
The intent of the ordinance is to make it an accessory. It would be permitted as an accessory if it's permitted at all. So you have to have an improvement to have an accessory.
But a vacant lot, you're not even allowed to put a shed on, right?
Vacant
yeah.
lot.
No vehicle or boat.
Huh?
No vehicle or boat on a vacant lot.
Right. Never.
According to this.
Yeah, zero.
It's
always been that way.
No.
Right. Hasn't it always been that way?
No.
It wasn't specifically addressed before.
Right. Okay.
Wasn't clear.
Okay.
Mr. McCann, was there anything further you had?
No, sir. I just would hope that the enforcement, which is always the key when it comes to zoning and also the most challenging for a county government, is addressed, and so that there is appropriate funding for the agency, the department that's asked to do this, because if you don't enforce it, then it's just going to, you know, still continue to be a problem. Thank you.
Did you have any comments about the provision of the enforcement section that says that the notice that would be sent would tell the person what corrective action they should accomplish, and in the event the person responsible for the violation notifies the county within 30 days of an intent to correct the violation, the director has the discretion to give them some additional time, up to 60 days, to get the violation cleared up?
I thought that was reasonable, Mr. Griffin. I did read that, and it's not I'm not looking for some type of vindictive ordinance. I'm just, you know, asking somebody to address something that I think is really inappropriate.
Okay. Thank you.
Name is Paul Bluest, and I reside at 33232 Mercer Avenue in Oak Orchard. I would like to say that I'm in very good favor of the ordinance, and I represent the signatures of those people that would like to see zero on a developed lot.
Is that the petition with 100?
Yes, the 108 signatures. I have two photographs here that I'd like to present, that I've been presenting. And photograph one shows a house on Forest Street with an unkept yard and three abandoned vehicles. We've been dealing with the constable's office now for, I have been with this property for probably 3 months now. I was informed this morning at 20 minutes till 10 that the owner of the property agrees to remove one of the cars because the ordinance allows him to have two cars on the property. We're not sure which one he's going to remove, but that's the deal. The other on page 2 is at the corner of Charles and Mercer Street in public view of the west side of the street and the east side of the street. The east side of the street are 4 boats, 3 trailers, unlicensed, and a lot of unkept property and debris around the property. On the other side, on the east side of the property, is a new house being constructed for 3 years now with excessive grass of 20 inches. I spoke to the guy who's building the property for the 3 years, and he said, if you have a problem with the neighborhood, why don't you attack the other side of the street? So what's happening is it's spreading, because if one property doesn't comply to the law, why should they? So they're here on the weekends. We're told to call the constable's office when they're here. The constable's office not open on the weekends to get to address these people. They're from out of state. The law doesn't apply to out of state owners of the properties. As far as ornamental grasses and things, I believe that the law should address certain issues. But in all due respect, I spoke to the constable this morning. In the 9 years that he has been a constable, he has addressed 2 or 3 ornamental grass issues. And when they go to investigate these issues, it's quite obvious that the person has a purpose to grow the ornamental grasses, and it's just passed off. So, and they go back to the people. So, like I said, I'm in strong. We support the ordinance as it was, with the upgrade being 0 in developed residential properties, because I feel that it's excessive. Some of our residential lots in Oak Orchard and in other old subdivisions are basically 30 feet wide. And this property that I'm showing the pictures of, these 3 automobiles, that lot is only 40 foot wide. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to be heard? Yes, ma'am. You be next.
I'm somebody.
No, not at all.
Hey, good time.
Good afternoon. Okay. My name is Virginia Donnelly. I live at 19728. They just changed my number. Tebby Run. It's listed in the with the 911 people as Beechwoods. But my neighbors say I'm not part of Beechwoods. I'm all by myself, so whatever. I've had the house since 2003. I bought it then. And when I bought it, I came down at night. The next day, I got to see this neighbor of mine who's been there, I'm told, for a number of years. I would have had signatures, but as recently as last week, somebody drove by just to take a picture so he could get an updated picture of what this place looks like. And somebody inside called the police on him. And the neighbors are kind of elderly, so they're a little bit fearful about going out and doing something and having the police come and show up their front door, because they're sitting on the road taking in a picture of a horrible sight. I met Mr. Rogers back in April, took some pictures, and I have those pictures here. But it looks good compared to what it looks like today. They've since had a fire, and I'm told that the owner is in one of your county facilities, and that someone else is living there now until he gets out. In the meantime, what used to be 1 car in the lot, 2 cars in behind the house, is now about 6 or 7 different cars. Some weeds are overgrown. Refrigerators with doors on them in the lot.
Where's this thing?
He's moved them to the back. One now has a tree, I mean, a grass up around it, so you can't see it too well, but I see it. Old trailers, camping trailers, all dilapidated, rusty. And you think about it, you let children run around this area, and they're going to get hurt. You know, I'm all for taking care of the wildlife and everything else, but right now I'm thinking about the kids that come in there and run around. And there are some, and I, to be honest with you, I don't even know where they come from. I just know they're there. We can hear them. The place is absolutely, positively disgusting. But what's even more bothering to me is we send the constable in, and they say they fine them, and they go to court, and they reduce the fines.
Do you have anything on that?
Pardon me?
Judges do that decision.
I understand that, but now I'm coming to you to say we need to get a message to these judicial people that, you know what, move in next door and see how you feel. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. On top of that, I think you might improve your tax revenues if you held up the fines.
We can't. Isn't that right, Jim? I mean, I don't want to argue with a young lady. I mean, if we say one thing in an ordinance, the judge can do anything they feel like.
You know what? There was a day they said women wouldn't vote. We got around it. There's a way around anything and everything you want to do. If you really want
to
help.
I've been several times in the consul's office.
I get real discouraged when I come to somebody and the first thing they say to me is, we can't. Let's try the other approach and see if we can do it. Obviously, something happened because you're changing this rule. Something must have happened. I don't know what happened, but something must have happened that all of a sudden you want to change this.
It's been a long one thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're
so.
Part of the reason, too.
Are you telling me you've been doing this for how many years now? This one? This is not good, guys. This is not good. There's got to be an answer out there because this is just not right. You know? I mean, you got people in this neighborhood who really take good care of their properties. And they're paying their taxes and they're doing them whatever. And then you go, I'm telling you, you've got to get past this mess to get to these other properties. Now you're depleting their value of their properties, which is not fair to them. And all I'm asking is, you know, if you know, I can help, I'll help. I mean, whatever you need to do, but we somehow or another have got to get this thing fixed so that, you know, that this doesn't go on. I mean, especially refrigerators with doors on them. Mine, Lord, and it's right out there in daybreak. You can see it. It's just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. So that's my 10 minutes worth, and hopefully we'll get this thing passed.
Thank you for your comments. Thank you. Gentlemen. We'll recognize anybody who wants to be heard.
Gentlemen, Roland West, Millsboro. I'm opposed to this ordinance, and let me start with an apology if I come in with a lot of stuff that's already been said. I can't hear, so I don't know what has been said already.
Some days you're better off, Roland.
Okay. Now, let me start with the weeds. I dare you to tell me the difference between some weeds and some vegetables and flowers, unless they are blooming. And usually they're 12 inches high before they start blooming. So how can you say that it's not in compliance when even I can't tell the difference sometimes, and I've been farming all my life? Now, we get into the grass part of this thing, 12-inch grass. Now, I've said this before. I only gave the state an easement in this dirt, in this program when they were making dirt roads. I still pay the taxes on that land because it's still listed on my deed. Now, the state mows this grass usually just before Labor Day so they can impress these people that are coming in wanting to buy a place here. In the meantime, the grass is waist high, and yet I'm going to be in trouble because mine has gotten up a little bit over the limit. And the same thing, grass is grass, whether it's a blade, whether it's a clump, whether it's a lawn or whether it's a field, it's still grass. There's no difference between the singular and plural. So at what point are you going to complain about the grass? Simply because you ride by and see a clump somewhere that the lawnmower's missed, that has grown? It happens. I've had it happen myself, especially when I've got about size of four lots to mow around there. So am I going to be in trouble because the grass on the highway, I still own the land, is 3 foot high at the same time? It doesn't quite add up. Now, when we get into the trash part of this thing, every time the tipping fees go up at the landfill and or some more regulations come on what can be carried and what can't be carried and so forth, I get more trash. It may sound funny, I'm not in the trash business, but in the past year since the tipping fees have been up, I've had a load of tires, 28 in fact, dumped on me. I've had 5 trash barrels, burn barrels, dumped on 50-gallon size, one 250, which were all half full of trash, tin cans, glass, melted plastic, ashes, so forth. In one of them, I even found a nickel and 2 pennies, which I gladly put in my pocket, but I have to take that stuff to the dump. It costs me just as much to carry somebody else's trash to the dump as it does mine. So, also on this, it says you got to have lids on the containers. How about we put out the trash? We do have trash collection out in the county, not only in towns forever. How about we have more trash that'll fit in that container that time? What am I supposed to do? Carry it back in the house and keep it for a week? But that's another problem I see in there cropping up. Then when we get to the automobiles, whether you people realize it or not, the price of aluminum, copper, steel has risen dramatically. It used to be that that vehicle sitting there was worth nothing. Now I sold 3 the other day. A fellow gave me $100 for each one of them. And I didn't have to touch them. Now, since then, I've had 3 more that have walked away. I don't know who borrowed them. I guess they feel it was their responsibility because they walked away. Now, it says it has to be in a building approved by the county. Now, I have no buildings approved by the county, although I got a bunch of buildings. Those buildings were built before we got a 5-member dictatorship in the county.
They're non-conforming.
But I thought you liked these boys.
Yeah.
I thought you liked these boys. You called them dictators.
Sure, think all the world of them.
They're benevolent dictators. Benevolent. Yeah, you got to put that word in front of dictator.
Yeah, sure.
Well, if you have a...
After all that, I have a slight... Right.
Don't get involved with your
knowledge of the English language. Then, so... What do I do with the vehicles? I don't have a building that the county was built.
Sir?
Since the county wasn't built.
If you have a building that's been there, it's non-conforming. Okay. The county's going to let that... You can store your vehicles in your existing buildings, and there's no violation.
Okay, because the farm there belonged to Hamilton Truitt. It was Hamilton Truitt's home place. The only time I met him was when I dug him up in there. In the late 70s, and he'd been buried 90 some years.
What'd you do with him? Did they take him at the landfill, or what'd you do with him?
Oh, got a discount.
Doug Melson was the fellow that had us dig him up. The undertaker. They were buried in Millsboro Cemetery.
Good.
All right.
Tombstone.
Because that could have been another violation.
Right.
I'm just looking out for you. Just looking out for you. I don't want you to get in trouble.
Well, he hired me to do it. So if I'm in trouble, we go talk to Doug Melson. But these buildings were there when he was there. That was his home place. I tore down a whole heap of them, but there's still buildings there, still serviceable.
Sir, How many acres of land do you have?
He's on a farm.
200, 220, somewhere in that general area.
So if this didn't apply to agricultural land, would you still have a problem with this ordinance if it did not apply to agricultural land?
Well, sure, because I'm going to make a lot more miles.
Right.
I mean, they know the state highway don't want me to use that road and get out of it, and I still can make a lot there.
Okay. Right now, the way it's written, it's agricultural is exempt, right? So you're exempt. What are you doing?
What am I doing? I'm up here telling you why I'm against this. I'm part of the public, whether you realize it or
not. I know,
not.
But you're exempt.
But he can still have
I know
it. It doesn't say in there I'm exempt from anything.
He just doesn't like it.
He just wanted to come see us. I know.
Yeah, well, that helps.
Been a while. Been a while.
There's one other thing in there.
I can't reach.
The Constitution, whether you folks ever read it or not, the Fourth Amendment says I should be free from search and seizure and so forth. Without have a warrant to bring, if you want me to read it to you, I agree to have it right here.
Give us copies during the language.
How's this fellow going to be able to come around and search my building to see whether I got two cars in there, three cars, four
you're
cars,
exempt.
Six cars?
We won't do it.
He's not.
He's confused.
Okay. Thank you, fellas, for listening.
Thank you very much.
And it's been a pleasure.
There's a gentleman over here. We'll get him on.
It's been a while since he's been here. Wanted to remind us of the Constitution.
Good morning, Council.
Morning.
Good morning.
I'm William Fuller. I'm Vice President of Oak Orchard Home Association. I'm representing the people of the association. And I'm in favor of this bill that we're trying to get passed. And we've just got a salvage yard in our area. We're a very small area there in Oak Orchard. And we're trying to get rid of it, and that's the reason we want this law passed. And with the salvage yard I'm speaking of in question, it's got three lots, lot 133, 135, and 136. I call it an unauthorized salvage yard in a residential area. He's got six boats, two cars, five trucks, nine trailers, camper trailers. His vehicles are licensed out of state in Pennsylvania with up to date stickers on them, I must say. But he's been living here quite some time. And
storage yard.
He hauls more in at night than what he hauls out in the daytime. So this is the reason I'm here.
Maybe he's going over rolling to steal them.
And I'd like to show you some photos, if I may.
Surely. Well, it'll be made part of the record.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And is this the same property that Mr. Blues spoke about before?
No, you're not in Oak Meadows.
They're residential.
You're in Oak Meadows?
No.
Yeah. This is Oak Meadows.
Okay. This is Oak Meadows?
Oak Meadows?
Yes.
And these are the three lots, 133, 135, 136.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Thank you, sir.
I can do it.
Back here, gentleman in the back.
Right.
Let's see these.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Alan Lynch. I have residential properties between Josephine and James A. Street on the Forgotten Mile to Dewey Beach. I have two businesses there, which has approximately 8 to 10 lots. And I am for the changes in this ordinance. And invite you guys down when you're going down Route 1 to look over on the left. We have a building there with a blue tarp on it in back of the Quarterly Inn Suites.
Call on fire? Did it call on fire, didn't it, or something like that?
No, he's just been repairing it for 10 years, and he's been buying a lot of blue tarps.
Right.
And I asked the chief fire marshal to come down and try to condemn it so that the fire company maybe could have a drill on it or something. But he says as long as it's boarded up and no one can get access to it, then he couldn't condemn it. but it certainly is bringing the property values down, as well as we have abandoned cars and so forth. And I've called Troop 7, Dollar State Police. They've come down and put tickets on some of the cars because it's not easy to see going in and out of our parking lot on the south side. And on James A. Street, they will not ticket those cars. One is facing the wrong way on the road. They're untagged. And whatever you can do for us, I would certainly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lynch. Yes, ma'am? Did you have your hand up, Mr. Kramer? Okay.
Yep.
Hello, my name is Helene Guilfoy. My property is at 38331 James A. Street. I've spoken to you all three or four times on this issue. Mm-hmm. Provided pictures for you every time. I thought you probably were bored of looking at my pictures, so I didn't bring them again this time. Plus, I'm trying to preserve my ink on my printer. Just reinforcing, I'm very much in favor of this ordinance. One property on James A. Street, as well as the same property owner owns a property off of Holland Glade. The constables have cited him. He's gone to court. He pays the fines. They come back. They cite him again. He goes to court. He pays the fines. Cite him again. Goes to court. Pays the fines. One time the fine was $30,000, and he paid, wrote a check for it, which didn't bounce. There's no escalation of the penalties in the existing ordinance. The new ordinance does have escalation. It also has a clean hands clause, which I commend you for putting that clause in the ordinance, so that hopefully we'll be able to move on from what we're looking at today. I think the original ordinance, when it was written, however many years ago, was not written for residential properties, which is what all of us today here have been talking about. We're in highly populated residential, almost urban environments that should not have unlicensed vehicles and junk and trash on their property. So if you want my pictures, I'll be more than happy to email them to you, but I think you've probably seen them enough. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. One more in the back, Jim.
Someone behind the pillar, I can see a hand. Okay.
Good morning. I think it's just morning just a little bit here. My name is Curtis Barrows, and I live on Josephine Street. I am a resident of the Dodds Addition. I own a home as well as a rental property, which is right next door to it. And I'm very much in support of this regulation. Josephine Street has got a series of cars and boats to the point where it's supposed to be a two-lane road where passable for two cars. At the point now, it's all you can do to get one car through there. There's apparently a landscape business being run out of one of the rental properties, and that creates a lot of trailers, boats, cars, and this is a residential area, and I think that's the thing that
Are you out of court, you still, sir?
I'm in Dodds Addition, which is in between Dewey and Rehoboth. I use a Rehoboth mailing address. It's Josephine Street, same as Mr. Lynch and Ms. Guilfoy.
I understand. I just seen the house.
And so I'm very much in support of it. And as far as the grass part of this bill, I'm in favor of that as well. I think that people that have objected to it, this isn't involving golf courses, this isn't involving wetlands, this isn't involving agricultural lands, but I think in terms of people living in a highly densely populated area, weed control is important because you have to be concerned about rodents and other areas, other things that would be harmful to human health. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer, 8041 Scott Store Road, Greenwood. You know, I'm going to tell you what. They already got an ordinance that says they can't have, with the exception of the grass, right? That's the only thing.
It doesn't address boats either.
And the boats. But there's a few things here. Of course, you've got two items in your headings that I got a question on. And the next thing is, the fact of the matter is, oh, wait a minute, we can't have that grass out there. There might be a vermin out there. It might be that rat. Holy Toledo, that rat's going to get my butt. Well, I'll tell you what, that's exactly what these people are, a bunch of butts coming in here complaining about their neighbor. Because if they had a half a brain, you work with your neighbors. But I'll tell you what, you want to make an enemy of your neighbor, I'll tell you what, you got the same guy, because I'm going to tell you what, if you came in on my property and you're going to tell me what I can and cannot do, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to let that grass grow on purpose just to aggravate you. Why? Because I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to turn it into a live wildlife refuge, and guess what? You ain't going to do a diddly squat with me. None of you. And by the way, how many more guys do you want to hire to enforce this ordinance? Because I guarantee you, if you pass this ordinance the way it is, you're going to hire them because you're going to get so many complaints. These guys that you have now will never be able to keep up with them.
Are you applying for the job?
Yeah. I'm going to be applying for the job because I'm going to go tell you what. I'm going to be the first person to come out after you, anybody that's in violation. I'm going to nail your butts to the wall because don't complain about your neighbor. Check your own But first, you better have it in order, because I guarantee you I'm going to be knocking on your door, because I'm going to come around and look at it, and I'm going to be on the phone calling the guy right there, and he's going to enforce it. Don't shake your head no. Huh? You're going to quit. That's what you're going to do.
Because I ain't love that neighbor.
Yeah, right. And as far as having a bunch of baloney, first of all, the guy's got to go out, he gets a complaint, and the guy's got 3, 4, or half a dozen vehicles sitting there. Which one is he going to remove? Because he's got to tell the guy, well, you're permitted to 2 vehicles. So guess which one he's going to leave? The worst one out of the bunch to make the neighbor teed off all alone, right? So what good have you done? Absolutely diddly squat nothing.
But do you think we should drop that to 0?
No, I think you ought to leave the whole thing alone and leave it like it is.
Well, it's already 2.
I know, so leave it like it is. If you want to fight it, go ahead and fight it. I don't care, but just don't add to it.
So you don't think we should put anything in there about derelict boats?
No, not at all. Live with it. And particularly these people that move in here from out of state, I don't give a diddly squat. Don't, them yellow belly suckers can stay, move out of here and go back where they come from, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
It's pure and simple. Doesn't matter to me. And I got broad shoulders too, so don't go jumping on me.
Well, your comments have certainly been the most colorful, Al.
I'm sure they have, and I ain't done yet.
Oh,
okay. I want to know.
We're hoping you have finished.
I'm sure you have, because you know lunchtime just rolled around, ain't it?
To get some lunch.
Yeah, I know you do. The whole bunch of you do. That reminds me, you ought to take a break after this and go have lunch. Anyhow, I want to know something. I want to know the acreage.
You ought to hear more about it.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
It doesn't really specify acreage.
No, it doesn't.
So therefore, how can you justify one lot? What's a one lot? Is it an acre? Is it 5 acres? Is it 10 acres? It does say something about agricultural land. But you know what? You can have 1 acre and be in agriculture, can't you?
It says on land zoned and used for owner-occupied single-family purposes.
But there again,
sure, Mr. Lank could tell us what that would mean.
Can you will he answer the question?
I don't know.
Later today.
The thing of it is, you could have 1 acre and turn that half acre of it into a farm.
You just tell us what your comments are.
That's what I'm. That's what I want to know. Is it? Are they going to apply this to more than 1 acre? Are they going to apply it to 5 acres or 10 acres or 15? What about the guy that sells his farm off and the developer lets it grow up? It's no longer agriculture, is it?
Correct.
Right?
He was
so you're going to go out and force him to mow his
I don't know
200 acres?
We've typically enforced 5 acres. We've enforced 5 acres in the past.
Yeah. But in the meantime, at 5 acres, you can also have a farm on 5 acres, can you not?
Mm-mm.
Yes, you can.
Mm-mm. You could.
You could.
Legally, you can. You, look, there's chicken houses.
As far as putting a manufactured home on it, it has to be 10. Is that correct, or honest? Mini farm or something like that?
A farm typically is defined as 5 acres or more. Okay. And active agriculture. A mobile home can be used on farm, but it has to have at least 10 acres.
Okay.
And in the meantime, you can actually put chicken houses on 5 acres or less, right?
5 acres or more.
Or more?
Yes.
But you can get variances for under 5 acres.
Get a conditional use for a chicken house on less than 5 acres.
Right. You just made my point. So therefore, it is a farm in any kind of acreage. Mm-hmm. So?
Not a produce stand.
Then there you turn around and he lets his grow up, but the neighbor next to him, which does nothing, lets his grow up, he gets fined, but the other guy doesn't.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to be heard? Yes, ma'am.
Laryngitis, so I'll try to speak real clear.
Take your time.
My name is Patricia Greniger, and I live at King's Crossing in Lincoln, Delaware. And I have a question. Actually, I'm in favor of this ordinance. The only thing I wish it were zero cars or unlicensed vehicles of any kind. I wanted to know, our restrictions in our development for our civic association have no, we don't allow any unlicensed vehicles. Does with this ordinance, if it were passed as it is now, where you're allowed to have two, are they? Would that supersede our restrictions?
No, ma'am.
No.
But your restrictions are more strict than they would apply.
But okay. They would have to enforce, explain it. We wouldn't enforce them, though. If somebody did do that, you would have to enforce them.
Okay.
Not the county, right?
But
the county could become involved in the enforcement of more than
two.
Okay,
but not
zero,
right.
Unless it were passed to zero. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Thank you all very much for your comments. They've been quite helpful. Was there anyone from the county enforcement staff that is here who would like to have anything to say, or in terms of?
Okay. Because the constables, I know, falls under you. I mean, I thought when we started this whole operation that it was really to take care of the enforcement part of this particular ordinance. And that's what we were looking at. Because we had no teeth in anything or the fines or whatever it may be. And that was the area we were strictly looking for, to give the constable, when we had an issue, if the person was out of state, that we had some legal way to be able to take care of it and not just let it keep going on and on and on. And now it's progressed into we've rewritten the whole ordinance. Is that, am I looking at it right or wrong? Or
I think there were several considerations, and Mr. Parker could correct me if I'm wrong, but one that I recall is that our constables were taking people to the Justice of the Peace Court, and the existing ordinance wasn't clear because it placed the enforcement on a non-existent division of the county, the transfer station section, and it also, there was a provision in the zoning ordinance that said you could not have more than two unlicensed or inoperable vehicles, but the constables were finding ways not to enforce that because it required a showing that somehow there was some adverse health effect if that existed, or the constables would suspend the fine or give the person time to clear it up and then not follow up. And then we had people also come in or wrote letters. I believe Mr. Blues may have been one who wrote letters and spoke to council on prior occasions saying, I've got a problem with where I live because someone has boats and RVs and different things. And I think when the word went out, other people in the county said, well, there's a boat near my house that's been there for years. So we were trying to make it clear what the authority of the county was and sort of fold in what previously had been placed on the transfer station division into the land use regulations and create standards that would allow some enforcement with progressive penalties that would apply. and an opportunity to notify the person, attempt to get cooperation, and only if you, and attempt to get them to sign a cleanup or remediation plan, but if they were unwilling to do that, then to go ahead with enforcement. That was sort of the...
And Jim, we haven't really rewritten much here. Most of this is already in the existing ordinance. We've fine-tuned it a little bit.
Most is in the existing
ordinance. Right, exactly, right? If I'm not mistaken, that's the grasses, all these things.
Grasses are there.
Are all there, and the vehicles are all there. We just had a problem with enforcement and lack of enforcement, and people are starting, the complaints were getting, have been here for the 20 years that I know of, and it's just, and we've not been able to do anything, so we're trying to address it by tightening up the enforcement, is my...
I think one of the problems that was talked about a little earlier is the penalties. And the way it reads right now, it says the fine should be not more than $100 per day. And I think what's happening is sometimes the JP courts are interpreting that to that can be zero. You know, not when it says not more than $100 per day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or it could be whatever they set it at. And the proposed has a penalty for the first time of not less than $250. Nor more than 500, so the minimum would be 250.
Mm-hmm.
So there's more of a penalty, more of an incentive for
it. We involve a lot of people. By the time we've gotten to the JP court, there's been a lot of man hours involved.
Right.
And
right.
The $100, and when they reduced it less than $100, hadn't even covered anybody's cost, and let alone the time spent. So 250 doesn't seem too unreasonable.
And as far as enforcement with some of the issues that were brought out today, the county staff doesn't intend to look at vegetable gardens.
I think it's all understandable. I think with the present council, we certainly, if there's an issue, we're going to deal with it. But if some of the issues there, but once it's law is law. I mean, if somebody wants to do it, it's there on the books and it can be done. So I can sympathize with some of these areas that have the boats. I mean, the boats are certainly something that I think should be addressed, and those type of the watercrafts or whatever you want to call them, there are certain areas. And we have the ability to remove up, they can have two vehicles at this time. So I think part of the issue was is that we just couldn't enforce it, from what I can understand. So
well, I think one thing that we've said for years is we have a kind of a fine structure that's in the ordinance as a joke. Mm-hmm. That we need to get that up. We've tried that. Mr. Coleman, I've tried to get that up. And it's the intent was never the vegetation. It was the grass on vacant lots that people just let go and just go pay the fines, the lady said, and just go about their business. And there has to be some escalation in there to get their attention even more in their pocketbook. Somebody's going to work.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever county government has gone in and tried to get somebody to cut a garden or cut something that is obvious, that it's landscaping, and it is obvious to anybody that, it's been planted in a certain way. So these parcels that they're getting the complaints about are obviously overgrown and neglected, and it's time we should do something. So I don't know if it's up to the majority of this council to try to address it.
Well,
Planning and zoning is deferred this, so
we can't do anything.
My recommendation is that we defer. What that means is that we want to wait and hear what the recommendation of planning and zoning is, because we have to do that before we take action. So after that occurs, after they give their recommendation, then we'll have the benefit of their comments, and that at some future date it would be placed back on the agenda of county council. But the public hearing has been concluded. What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
Motion to defer on the ordinance.
Yeah. I have to.
The move and second that we defer on the ordinance and wait for planning and zoning's decision. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed.
Mr. President, can we take old business and put it...